On the show today, we have the Knowlton Group's Brewster Knowlton talking about the keys to developing data strategies for credit unions. So check it out. The topic here is keys to developing data strategies for credit unions. And this is something kind of new. I mean, it's like having a data strategy. I mean, we've heard of like marketing strategies and business strategies, all that type of stuff. But a data strategy? What does this actually, what does it mean? What does it entail for a credit union to become data driven?
Yeah, so there's a great quote and I had to write it down so I didn't try to butcher it.
Okay.
And I love this definition and I'll explain why. So to me, a data strategy, and this quote encompasses it, it's a comprehensive vision and actionable foundation for an organization's ability to harness and leverage data.
Okay.
And I think that's a great quote. And there are a couple of big things I like about that. First and foremost, it's actionable.
Mm-hmm.
So any data strategy, we never want to create something that's just a binder on the shelf. This really abstract, theoretical, because it does nothing for us.
Right.
So we want it to be actionable. What's the roadmap? What do we actually have to do? But then on top of that, we really need it to be comprehensive and enterprise focus, because I see a lot of organizations where a particular department will focus on analytics. Maybe it's lending, maybe it's marketing, but it really doesn't look at the entire organization. It looks like that at that one department. So we really need that holistic focus, because I think we're finding that looking at data in silos really doesn't give us that complete picture of a member,
mm-hmm.
especially as we start to talk about things like digital strategies and this buzzword omnichannel and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So we have to have a complete picture of all of our data. And to do that, we have to have this enterprise actionable strategy here. So, to me, becoming data driven, you kind of mentioned that. And I want to clarify that I don't like that as a buzzword. So like, what does that really mean, right? What does it mean? So a data driven organization is one that doesn't just use gut instinct to make decisions, right? They use that data to help drive all of their decision making, specifically at the strategic level. We talk about branches. Well, do we need a branch? If so, where do we put that branch?
Mm-hmm.
All those decisions come down with data. But there's also this concept that's definitely the least sort of sexy part about data and analytics, and that's process efficiency. So if there's a process that's taking us 100 hours a month or 20 hours or whatever it breaks down to, can it be automated? And a lot of the time, the answer is yeah. So I would be shocked if you're, say, a billion-dollar credit union, and you watch this, if you couldn't go through, do an analysis, and find at least 2,000 or 3,000 hours per year. And that's how much we could automate by just, and this isn't even talking about predictive analytics or anything that's really more advanced and I think kind of the ooh and ah part of analytics. But to me, that's really some of the key points that entails a data-driven organization.
Yeah, this is just, I want to say it's like brand new stuff, but to me it is. I think for a lot of credit unions it is. As credit unions kind of delve deeper and deeper into this data, into the member data in particular, I mean, can you provide some like member segmentation insights here? I mean, because, I mean, we want to serve, you know, our members, or the credit unions want to serve their members in more and more, for lack of better terminology, specific ways to meet their individual needs, to keep that service level through the roof. What can we do here, or what can credit unions do here?
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, the biggest thing is you have to get all that data in one place. Now, we start seeing the rise of data warehouses, or you hear this term big data, which is my least favorite buzzword of all. Right? But we have to get all that data in one spot, because if not, we're not able to see. Let's say we have a third-party loan origination system. Maybe that's only passing information to the core once that application has been funded.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this wealth of application information that didn't get funded that's sitting out there. Maybe it has to do with some of our members. Maybe it doesn't. Let's try to harness that. Online banking, that's another one. We have all these ancillary systems. We have to get that data all in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really critical. Then we start talking about CRM systems, which I'm seeing are more and more common, which is a great thing to see in credit space. So how are our members interacting with us? And the important thing is not just with monetary transactions, but non-monetary transactions.
Oh.
So for example, if you're a member of Credit Union A and you try to fill out a online loan application, but there was an issue or there was a problem, now you're coming into the branch, can we track that? Because as part of a digital strategy and a digital channel alignment, that's really critical, because you have to understand those gaps in the processes between what it's like for a member, let's just stick with the loan application example, to apply for a loan online, maybe via mobile, which might maybe slightly different, in a branch. Are there differences? You really want to provide that complete singular process and experience. So understanding how they're interacting, that ties back into the segmentation, because now I realize my members are coming into the branch for XYZ. They're calling contact center for XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
Not because maybe they want to get balance inquiries or perform some transfer, but maybe because there's a problem or there's something else. And all that information is incredibly valuable because mm-hmm. it tells us what type of member is coming into the branch.
Oh yeah.
What attributes do they have? What about the ones that are predominantly mobile? What about the ones that want to be predominantly mobile or digital, but have to come into the branch? Mm-hmm. All of this information, and then we kind of tie it all together with this integrated data warehouse, data repository, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can do all of this alignment around digital channel usage. We can start tying in things like profitability. We can start looking at life cycles, because now we have this holistic picture of a member. Those are just a few of the ways, but you have to okay. have that data. You yeah. have to have all those points that are really important for that.
Wow, this is really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. And when you talk about data analytics, we talk about, most of the time we talk about processes and procedures, just what you just talked yeah. about, just what we discussed. Yeah. But not too many people are talking about training staff on yeah. required data and analytics skills. I mean, that's something that I'm sure people are talking about it, folks like mm-hmm. you and in your circles and stuff, but getting out into the general population, I guess, or into the industry and making it a hot topic. Can you provide a couple of insights here on how to get your staff to recognize this type of stuff and how to train them in that area?
Yeah. So I love my sort of cliches and analogies, right? But you're not going to buy a Ferrari if you can't drive stick, right?
True.
So the same thing happens here. We have these analytics technologies that people are trying to buy, but you have to have the right talent. You have to know how to use it. So that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a really, really important thing yeah. that I think often overlooked. So at a minimum, and this is to me the foundation of analytics, is SQL. And what that is essentially the most basic language with which you can interact with the database.
SQL, that's SQL, that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yeah, SQL, okay. yep. So basic SQL querying skills are critical for not just your BI team or your IT staff, but for those individuals that are going to be interacting with data
mm-hmm,
at
mm-hmm.
the department level. It doesn't require this, you don't have to have, you know, a ton of experience. It's not like it's this, it's not rocket science. It is something that even non-technical people that aren't, you know, really, they don't have a programming background
right,
or anything.
Like, programmer to do it, right.
Right, they can learn. That to me is you've got to start, you have to start there, because that makes the overall analytics literacy increase, because now yeah. you have more self-sufficiency. And we see this happen where you implement something and then it kind of skyrockets in terms of the amount of data people want to see. So we have to have that self-sufficiency. SQL is the best place to start.
Okay.
Honestly, Excel, it's sort of the double-edged sword where it sometimes gets overused, but man, that tool is so powerful for this stuff. For credit unions that don't want to invest in a Tableau or a ClickView or some other advanced visualization tool,
mm-hmm.
Excel is a great tool to start with. You can interact with databases. So using things like Power Pivot, which is probably the best kept secret in Excel. If you don't know what it is, go look it up. Trust me, it's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Right? So Power View is another thing that's within Excel. I mean, there's so many different things just within Excel that you can do
mm-hmm.
that are really critical. Then you start to get into some of the more deeper BI skills, which I think is probably a separate conversation.
Right, right.
But then the other big thing is, how do we turn data into information? And there's that really important yet subtle distinction. So raw data is, I can produce numbers, but how do I translate those numbers? How do I translate that data into something that's actually actionable? That's
mm-hmm.
information that's useful.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, we've all heard that quote, without data, you're just another person with an opinion. There's this article that I read, the authors did a great job of twisting it and said, without an opinion, you're just another person with data.
True.
So, you know, there's that give and take. Yeah, you have to have data, but you also have to know how to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other big skill that I would emphasize, is that business analysis, that understanding of how do we translate these raw numbers
mm-hmm.
into something that makes sense.
It's a language, you know? Yeah.
Yes. And that's probably the biggest thing, because even if you have people that don't know SQL or that know basic Excel but aren't doing Power Pivot or some of the things like that,
yeah.
if they can translate that, you're already starting to develop that culture
mm-hmm.
of using data and being analytically driven, which is really, really critical.
How hard is it to train somebody in that stuff? I mean, is it like, you know, a week long course or something like that, going to your local community college or extension course at a college, or, you know, at a university or something like that? Is that what it takes, or is it something more in depth?
For SQL and Excel, you could probably do something like that, right? Okay. There's enough online resources out there for sure.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
For the business analysis part, it's really, I don't know if there's like a course you could go to type of thing, but it's just changing paradigm in which you ask some of the questions. Most people tend to ask us, you know, like, what is the data telling me? As opposed to saying, what questions do I want to ask of the data? And then getting an answer based on that.
Okay,
so it's a little shift in how you approach looking at data that I think can start to build that ability to translate that data into information over time.
And the more you look at this stuff, the more you can see stuff, basically patterns and stuff like that, where you can develop services and products and even enhance the ones that you already have to really go to a really kind of like what you do with Facebook. You can like really dig down and data mine and get to the specifics. This is the same type of stuff, I assume.
Yeah, I geek out on this stuff because to me, it tells a story.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
You can see, especially, let's look at one member. One member, and maybe not even just the account, but just one member. Mm-hmm. What has their life looked like with our credit union? Mm-hmm. Let's just take that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we see what their information was when they started. We can see that now maybe they're, because we're tracking some of the demographics, their income's changed, their credit score migration has risen.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've bought a car or they have a mortgage. Now all of a sudden they have something set up for a college trust or something like that. So now we know they've entered a different life. All of that data tells a story. To me, that's the most interesting part of this whole thing. But if we can understand those stories, that helps us, you know, how you preface this whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Us deliver better experiences, better products, better services. And that's definitely the credit union message.
Right.
So data really helps us support that vision and that goal.
And you can almost predict or be proactive about your offerings when you see that story that you're talking about. So,
well, and I think what you just hit on is a great point. A lot of credit unions up to this point have been reactive.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been proactive.
Mm-hmm.
So that shift in mentality to not thinking what happened last month, but to what's going to happen next month, that alone is a huge shift in mentality from how we used to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely agree. Reactive to proactive is really, really critical in the mindset to becoming a data-driven organization.
Yeah, I think the members will appreciate that too. It's like, wow, they're in my head. They're thinking about what I'm thinking.
Right. I mean, we have, of course, all the horror stories, like, you know, a couple weeks ago with Wells Fargo. That's not exactly helping the whole cross-sell, upsell conversation. But it's about, if I'm somebody who could be a great recipient of a credit card, or there's a great opportunity to refi, those are things that we're doing for the benefit of the member, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we can just take all the information we have and under the perspective of we're going to improve their financial well-being,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it takes this whole conversation of Big Brother out, because it's about helping and it's about providing the best products and services for that individual.
And that is right in the old credit union wheelhouse. So
it is.
And my next question is, like, why is it so important for credit unions now? And I think you just answered it. It's like to help the people and be proactive about doing it. So it's right there. So, I mean, before we let you go, Brewster, can you give us I just want to give you guys a quick plug. What's the Knowlton Group all about? What do you guys do for credit unions that in this area that can be a big help to them?
Yeah. So we started talking about data strategy. Mm-hmm. So we actually help credit unions define that data strategy. So we work with their executive teams, and actually from everyone from the CEO to all that frontline staff, we're meeting with just about everybody, because we want to know, how are you using data today? What data is out there? How would you like to use it? And then we build that comprehensive data strategy that we talked about that says, this is where you are. This is where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get you there?
Yeah.
It's this important strategic level stuff, but it's also actionable. It's a detailed roadmap that says this is how you're going to get there. Because I think that's a big challenge, is it's almost this this BHAG, this audacious goal sitting up, right? Let's make it really actionable. Let's break it down step by step. And all of a sudden it seems a lot more attainable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we really try to provide. We have that strategic focus. I'm sure you know Rich Jones from CUFX.
Mm-hmm.
Rich and I work together on all of these data strategy things. So that guy is smart. smart person. So
it's good to have that guy on our team.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he works with us for those data strategy, and then we do the development to actually help on the technical side, because there's obviously potentially that skills gap within a credit union to be able to take this strategy and the implementation plan and actually translate it into an analytics platform for each credit union. But, you know, we work with guys like OnApproach and some of those other guys that are really trying to do some unique things in this space that I think really only just furthering that that average analytics competency for the credit union.
Yeah,
industry.
No doubt. There's going to be some big old leaps and bounds here coming the next couple of years with the financial services. So it's going to be really exciting. And looks like you guys are right there in the mix. So it's very cool.
I'd like to be a part of it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. It's exciting. All right, to wrap up here, Brewster, what's on the horizon that credit unions can expect when it comes to data? What can we expect tomorrow, next month, next year even?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I'll say is this is not a flick of the switch. If you're trying to get involved with analytics, it's not like installing Microsoft Excel and you're up and running an hour later.
Yeah.
The process. And we typically suggest that it's going to take about 18 to 36 months to be fully implemented.
Okay.
Now, that's not going to say that's before you start seeing any gains,
right?
But that's that full implementation. So start to look at today, right? How are you using data? How are you driving analytics? Are you even doing that? What are your KPIs? And do your KPIs support the strategic goals of your credit union, mm-hmm. which is another big thing. And that's a whole conversation in and of itself for another time.
That's part two.
Yeah, exactly. But then over the next year or so, start to develop that analytics platform, whether you there's core reporting solutions that are sometimes a good start, depending mm-hmm. on credit union, you have MCIFs that are in place that are great in certain circumstances. So just trying to use data more and more, and then starting to identify these data-driven employees. Mm-hmm. How can I find people that think and believe that data is a valuable asset? And how can they start to use that? And how can we empower those individuals to use that information mm-hmm. to help us make decisions? And then eventually you start to build up this culture that's simultaneously being developed with the platform.
Right.
And in 2 years, all of a sudden, you're an organization that can holistically look at your membership, sort of that 360-degree view of your membership.
Yeah.
You have this single source of truth, this central data repository or data warehouse where all of these different data sources that are non-core, ancillary, third-party, like our LOS systems or sometimes our mortgage origination or servicing platforms, mm-hmm. we have all of that data in one place integrated with our core so that we can very quickly get a complete picture of our members' products, mm-hmm. of all services. Mm-hmm. And from that point in time, then we start getting into the real fun stuff, the predictive analytics.
Yeah.
We start to get really into that potential opportunity of real big data, looking at social media and all of these other mm-hmm. non-traditional data sources, mm-hmm. which is really the box of big data. And that's the future. And okay. I think the more credit unions that can harness that, they're going to have a huge competitive advantage until everyone starts to get up there, and then eventually it's going to be a necessity.
Yeah,
I really believe that. So whoever gets there first is going to enjoy a little reward early on.
And that'll be credit unions. That'll be us. We'll get there first. All right. Great message to end on, Brewster. Thank you so much for your time. And this is a topic that we can obviously talk about for hours and hours because there's so much to it. You can go off on all different tangents, and let's have you back on. We can talk about some of the other items that you mentioned as well because, we just have a kind of a limited amount of time here. But thank you so much for enlightening us. A fascinating topic that is certainly not going to go anywhere anytime soon. I think it's going to be more and more prominent, if anything.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
No, I'm looking forward to it, and thanks again for having me.
You're welcome, Brewster. Well done. Thanks again.